Please join me silently in prayer. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Has there ever been a time in your walk with the Lord when you knew you were a Christian and you knew that you take God seriously, yet you found your life in the middle of a great storm? It happens. And I believe it happens often. And I believe it is happening with some of our members of St. Mark, even as we talk today. So, guided by the words from Romans 8, which Karen read earlier, relying on the guidance and blessing of the Holy Spirit, I want to expand this morning on a point I made in my message 2 weeks ago, forever a member of his family. If you were here, you may recall that I shared my personal list of the four main benefits of being a member of God's family. And my fourth point was experiencing the presence of God in our life. Believe it or not, today I'm going to predict your future. And I'm really convinced that what I tell you will be absolutely accurate. So I predict, as you sit here this morning, that if you are a believer, that God will be with you all the years of your life. Why am I so sure? I am sure because I am only repeating what God has already stated. It has actually been said in many times and in many ways in the Holy Scriptures. God stated this promise a long time ago to the nation of Israel. And from Deuteronomy chapter 31, we can extract five praises about God and his Old Testament people. Here they are. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So I ask you this morning, are you a believer in the triune God? If so, you are not alone. 2 weeks ago, I shared what God said to Israel and all the descendants of Abraham, as recorded in Isaiah 41. These words are precious to me, because at probably the most serious time in my life, when I was on my back on an operating table and knew I would be put out in a few minutes, they were the last words I said mentally in my mind from Isaiah 41. Where God said, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We, as believers in Christ, are not alone. And God spoke special words to his servant Joshua as Joshua prepared to lead God's people into the promised land. You may recall that most of the spies sent ahead recommended that they not go into the promised land due to the opposition they would face and the size of the people. But God promised, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." They were not alone. And this promise appears to be a constant theme to God's people in the Old Testament. And the New Testament continues the same theme. After His resurrection, and I used this 2 weeks ago also, as Jesus was preparing to leave His disciples, He said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." But even without these words, we should know and draw comfort from the fact that God is not a trillion miles away from us, but He is present with us. I have a hard time fully understanding that, but I believe it. For the Lord said, "Do I not fill heaven and earth?" He said that in Jeremiah 23. And in 1 John 4, the apostle writes, "We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit." That's how God does it. And John goes on to say that if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. These words should really bring us great comfort as believers in Christ. His promise to us can be summed up in His own words, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So, does that mean that God has never forsaken anyone who belonged to Him? Has He ever left someone He cared about? Remember, God is God. He can make exceptions to things if He so wishes. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, there was a person who was forsaken by God. And I know this calls for a lot of courage, but raise your hand if you think you know who that person was. I'm not going to call on you. Any other hands? Okay, there's one guy holding back here that I know knows. Not raising his hand. It was Jesus dying on the cross. The Holy Scriptures tell us that about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And in this unique miracle, Jesus was crying out in anguish because of the separation He experienced from God the Father. This passage is the only one I know of where when Jesus was speaking to God, He did not address Him as the Father. And it is widely believed that at this time, the Son took the sins of the world upon Himself. And God does not want fellowship with sin, and He turned away from Him at that time. So we believe Jesus was separated from God for a brief time, and became sin for those who believe in Him. And that's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, while it is comforting to be told that God will always be with the believer and will not forsake him, and that's our main theme today, some people hear or read that and they go further than the words actually say. They are convinced by these same words that they will never face any great difficulties. Life for a Christian is promised to be smooth sailing, so to speak. And there are some Christian groups who teach this, including a couple speakers on television. And it concerns me greatly because God does not say that. The famous author and theologian C.S. Lewis said, "I didn't go to religion to make me happy." He went on, "If you want a religion to make you comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity." Why did C.S. Lewis say that? Because Jesus himself clearly explained his mission in coming to earth was, quote, "to give his life as a ransom for many," unquote. He did not promise that we would not suffer at times. He did not promise that a Christian would be exempt from serious trouble. Circumstances that can affect a believer are no better or worse than they are for anyone else. We are not given an exemption from the ills of the world. And we should also pick up that message from the words we heard of Paul in Romans 8 this morning. He states, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." Unquote. Sometimes our expectations of the Lord fall short because we have false expectations. But we are never alone. We have the strength of God to draw on. And when we're in a terrible storm, He may, at times, for His divine reasons, deliver us from that particular storm that we are in. But more often, He gives us the strength we need in that storm. And we are witnesses to who we are and who He is while we are in that storm. Never forget that. That's so important. And Paul reinforces that this morning with the following words. He says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so as I close this morning, I'd like you to silently join me in prayer. And my prayer really comes, most of it, from Jesus, Lead Thou On. Beautiful hymn on page 718. I've changed two words, taken the liberty to do that, because I made it into a prayer to fit our message this morning. Jesus, lead us on, till our rest is won. And even if the way be cheerless, help us follow calm and fearless. Guide us by thy hand to our fatherland. Amen.